नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto 9th chapter text 22 shvalangulena avismitam tam paripurna kamam svenai valabena samam prashantam vinopasarpatya param hi balisha श्वलांगुलेनातितितर्ति सिंधुम् अविस ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल मटेरियल कंसेप्शंस ऑफ एग्जिस्टेंस एंड नेवर वंडरस्ट्रक बाय एनीथिंग द लॉर्ड इज ऑलवेज जुबिलेंट एंड फुली सैटिस्फाइड बाय हिज ओन स्पिरिचुअल परफेक्शन ही हैज नो मटेरियल डेजिग्नेशंस And therefore, he is steady and unattached. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only shelter for everyone. Anyone desiring to be protected by others is certainly a great fool who desires to cross the sea by holding the tail of a dog. Purport. A dog can swim in the water. But if a dog dives in the ocean and someone wants to cross the ocean by holding the dog's tail, he is certainly fool number one. A dog cannot cross the ocean, nor can a person cross the ocean by catching a dog's tail. Similarly, one who desires to cross the ocean of nescience should not seek the shelter of any demigod or anyone else, but the fearless shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58 therefore says, Samashrita ye padapallava plavam महत् पदं पुण्ययशो मुरारे भवाम्बुधिर्वत्स पदं परं पदं 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 यत् विपदां न तेषाम् The Lord's lotus feet are indestructible boat. The Lord's lotus feet are an indestructible boat. And if one takes shelter of that boat, he can easily cross the ocean of nescience. Consequently, there are no dangers for a devotee, although he lives within this material world, which is full of dangers at every step. One should seek the shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. The Supreme Lord as avismitam tam paripurna kamam Svenaiva labhena samam prashantam. Avismitam. Vismit is to be struck with wonder. Anything which doesn't conform to our sense of commonplace or ordinary, we call it a wonder. A dog barking as a dog is nothing wonderful in that. But a man barking as a dog, Prabhupada used to say, people would pay. They would stand in a queue to find out how exactly this person is able to bark exactly like a dog. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Very predictable. Nothing wonderful about it. What if the sun doesn't rise one day? Then it's wonderful. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, in one of his essays while working towards his PhD, well, it could be even his MA, had written about miracles. And especially at one point of time, someone gave some milk to a Ganesh deity, and lo behold, the milk in the glass reduced. And he said, this deity started to drink milk. And someone else tried, and someone else tried, and everybody tried. Similarly, in a small village in Yugoslavia, the statue of Mother Mary started shedding tears.
And everyone flocked. And then the village became very famous. And of course, regarding these miracles, it's a very common thing. How quickly the sense of transcendence, the sense of any divine intervention, immediately evaporates. And the whole thing boils down to, what could you do for me? Now I know, my Lord, you are here. So, could you give me this? Could you give me that? In our school days, we were taught about the seven wonders of the ancient world, the seven wonders of the modern world. And of course, in the 21st century, science is so proud, as if they can generate a wonder every minute. But the Lord here is described as avismitam. There is nothing which causes Him to wonder. There is nothing which can surprise Him. Paripurna kamam. He doesn't depend on anyone to get His desires satisfied. Svenaiva labhena. He is satisfied by His own progress. There are many people who would like to be satisfied by their own progress. Like a clerk in an office, if the boss says, where is the report I wanted? He says, here is the report. And the boss says, what kind of nonsense is this? And the subordinate may say, I tried my best. This is the best I can come up with. But that's not sufficient. India generally is not so good in sports. Some of our best sports rankings are not even good enough for qualifying in the Olympics. Imagine. That means the best performance by an Indian fellow in that particular field is below the Olympic qualifying thing. Or sometimes it becomes worse. The under 58 kilogram wrestler goes to the Olympic village 20 days in advance for training and eats so much that on the day of the match, when he's weighed, he weighs 61 kilos. So there are other ways in which Indians can be wonderstruck at the performance of their sports people, sportsmen or sportswomen. So that means your best is not what the world wants. There could be another criteria. But here the Lord is described as Svenaiva labhena. I am satisfied by my own. Prabhupada uses a very different kind of terminology here. The Lord is fully satisfied by His own spiritual perfection. Vina upasarpati aparam. He has no need to go to anyone else for any certificate, for any approval or disapproval, for anything. Isn't that what means to be independent of anything? Whether people approve, whether people disapprove, whether everybody agrees that yes, He is the Lord, or whether none of us in this material world approve Krishna. So Krishna doesn't depend upon a ratings sort of a chart. Like currently, the most powerful man in the world, superficially at least, the President of the United States, every year he has to give a State of the Union address. State of the Union, what's happening with the union of these states? And normally that is seen as a barometer of his performance. And this time, his approval rating is at the lowest and is very worried. So he has a battery of speech writers, political analysts who will say, after this paragraph you speak this, and on this particular statement bang the table, and on this you laugh a little bit. So it's like a whole drama, whole choreographed kind of thing. And then afterwards the newspapers sort of find out whether he looked very confident. He looked up. He thought the economy is buoyant. The economy is not sinking. So just by the facial features, the words he uses. The next day everybody thinks it's a good day or a bad day. So just see the sorry state of affairs that somebody has to depend upon these kind of histrionics, this kind of dramatic performance for telling whether he is confident or not. But Krishna doesn't have to be dependent on the whims and fancies of anyone. If Krishna comes before a demon and the demon says, look at you, look at the way somebody has decorated your face with that red mineral found in the forest, you look hideous, Krishna doesn't go home and say, okay, I'll change my makeup and come back. No. Of course, acharyas say, how can somebody find fault with Krishna? The demons can. They don't like Shishupal. Shishupal said that this fellow is such a coward. Fearing his enemies, he has constructed a whole city in the ocean. Now just imagine, even if it were true that somebody is fearing his enemies, is it possible to immediately construct a whole city in the ocean? It's not possible. That too with 16,000 palaces for his own queens, then for his ministers, then his armies and everybody. So they don't take that into consideration. How can it be possible for someone to do that? So this actually is a prayer by the demigods. The demigods are later purports. Prabhupada describes them as sakama bhaktas. There are akama bhaktas who do not want anything from the Lord, and the demigods are sakam bhaktas. Sa is with, kam, desire. And what is the desire? That, oh my Lord, oh dear Lord, please protect us. We are troubled by this Vritrasura. I think Gauri Prabhu, when he read that purport, that gave the definition of what Vritrasura meant. Vritrasura is all enveloping, avrittam, all covering. So demigods, who are generally very comfortable, very happy with their jobs, with their perks, with their salaries, with everything, suddenly when they find such a big demon born, they lose all composure. They are very afraid. And the only difference between them and the demons, sometimes in power the demons are equal. In Maya Jal, in Indra Jal, in tricks, in fighting, in so many ways, sometimes the demons are more powerful than them. But when the demons are in a problem, they just fight among themselves, argue, or just scatter away. The demigods, when they have a problem, they remember the first rule in our instruction manual. Like if there is a demigod's manual, everybody gets a manual, a job manual. So the first instruction in a demigod's manual could be, in case of difficulty, pray. Don't do anything else. Pray. Pray to whom? Pray to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Today morning, while dressing the deities, in the lecture, Prabhupada is describing how Lord Vishnu, the three Purusha avatars, they are meant for the maintenance of this world. He describes that the universes are born or created not in the original size. He says, just like a human body is born from the womb of a mother, very tiny, and then it grows. Similarly, the universe is also, they emanate from the body of Vishnu and they are small in size. So just like the body undergoes six changes, this universe exactly conforms to a material body. So we are like material bodies living in a material body. What you want to see in yourself, if you want to check out whether it's really true or not, whether I really can die or not. Check out what's happening in the outside world. A tree, like a seed, becomes a sapling, then a tree, that is growth, byproducts, fruits, flowers, branches, twigs, leaves, then gradual dwindling. Dwindling, maybe it would be in size, or no flowers or no fruits now, and finally death. That means destruction. So what we see outside is the same way our body is constituted. And this is a whole long series of prayers. In fact, Lord Vishnu is not so satisfied that they are saying that, please protect us. Because ultimately they are the knowledge given in these prayers is transcendental. But the object behind the prayer is not transcendental. So there is a small correction from Lord Vishnu himself. But he says he agrees to protect them. Why should there be any need for the Lord's protection? And the answer is, the living entity goes on committing sins. Now, what exactly is a sin? The best definition, I'm not saying the best definition within Prabhupada's books, but the best definition of sin is found in the Ishopanishad. The root of sin is deliberate disobedience to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the proprietorship of the Supreme Person, to the laws of nature, by disregarding the proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Prabhupada is very clear. The root cause of sin is deliberate disobedience. In India, if you write somewhere, please do not spit here, and you'll find that whole area red. Why? Because people say, oh, who dare tell me I should not do anything here? I will show, I am the boss. So that deliberate disobedience is there. The Judeo-Christian religion is based on they put a very, very heavy emphasis on the original sin. There is an original sin, and all of us are suffering for that. And of course, there is an esoteric meaning behind that, and it very well conforms to our Vedic understanding. The serpent tempted Eve, that God has created both of you, and you are very happy, and you are free to enjoy. They said, yes, except this one tree. And the serpent says, now why is that? If you're free, you should be able to do anything you want. But they said, but we are actually happy. They didn't even have clothes. And they never felt like that, that we are actually having no clothes. So no clothes doesn't mean it was some kind of a hippie commune where they were living in. It stands for innocence. It is a symbol of innocence, that what the Lord has given, we are happy with it. But then the serpent puts that in their brain, that no, but why not this? They say, could be something for our own protection. What's the harm in that? He's our well-wisher. No, I will give you the secret. If you eat a fruit of that tree, your knowledge will be equal to his knowledge. And just like if two people have the same knowledge, then what's the difference? This is also another problem. If we think today is a knowledge economy, people fight. We both have the same degrees, why give him promotion? We have the same experience, that means the same knowledge. What about character? That has no bearing. So just information, just thinking that my brain and his brain hold the same number of bytes, therefore we are equal, that should not be the criteria. There are gurus who have had less, seemingly, less knowledge than their disciples. Gaurkishore Babaji could not write his own name. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was told by his father, an ICS magistrate, go and take initiation from him. Why did he do it? He was the most powerful exponent of astronomy at that time, who had written the Surya Siddhanta. At age 3, he had learned the whole Bhagavad Gita. By age 7, he could speak about various commentaries. And in his circle, he was generally known as a very, very, very erudite personality. And he is taking Diksha from a thoroughly illiterate person. And then he said, all the knowledge of the Vedas is at a particle of dust at the lotus feet of my Guru Maharaj. So that is the mood. Your spiritual master is not supposed to be expert in so-called expert in material knowledge or even the superficial aspects of spiritual knowledge, like knowing so many verses, so many stories, so many anecdotes, analogies, examples. It could be otherwise also. So therefore, the serpent tricks them that once you get knowledge just like God, then what happens? Well, then you enjoy like God. Now, enjoyment like God is not denied in the Vedic process. In fact, the whole reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent is that he suspects. What is his suspicion? Hey, my devotees seem to enjoy more than me. Now, this is a very strange phenomenon. If you are made to sit on a high seat and somebody brings some of the most succulent, dainty dishes, and then you feel that he offered this cake to me, I am about to take a bite, I will be happy when I actually taste it. But why is he smiling so much? And I say, after I take a bite, the whole thing is yours. You say, no, I won't touch any of it. 6 hours I spent in the bakery baking this, and I'm so happy to offer it to you. And I can see that actually it's all smiles. So this is a very strange phenomenon. It never happens in this material world. Normally people who give, they give with such, they clench their teeth, they clasp their fists. It's like, oh, he's going to take it away. I was waiting for one devotee at the VT station, and there were two people from some hotel, and this was their overtime. They looked like they had worked all night, and early morning they had to receive someone, and the whole conversation was grumble, 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 grumble. No overtime, this boss is like this. And say, who's coming? He says, that regular fellow. And they launched such a heavy offensive. They were calling him all kinds of bad words. And they said, this fellow, what to do? He's a regular customer at our hotel, and the boss also likes him. And they're calling him dog, calling him all kinds of names. And they say, wait, 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 here he comes, here he comes. And suddenly they're all smiles. And they say, yes, sir, please, sir, come, sir, aye, sir, yes, sir, here, sir, and all that. And that man was also in a very grumpy mood. He says, is my room there? Okay. Okay, where's the car? Okay, fine. So, he takes their service. They are meant to serve him. And nobody's happy. No one's happy. But if you see the trappings, if you see the superficial way in which the whole thing is organized, they have to make a big show. They have to make a big appearance so that we are very happy with this service. Sant Tukaram, he describes in one of his poems that what does the lotus flower know? How sweet its smell is. The lotus has its own fragrance, but it doesn't know what it is. But he says, the Brahmara, the bee, he is an enjoyer. But the bumblebee is supposed to be the servant of the lotus. They have a very intimate relationship. So Krishna's sweetness is like the fragrance of a lotus flower. But Krishna doesn't know how sweet it is. But the bumblebee knows. The devotee is like a bumblebee. So Krishna becomes a bumblebee in order to taste his own sweetness. So Krishna taking a form suitable to understand his own sweetness is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So coming to the point of the original sin, and then Eve took an apple and said, "We'll eat this. Our knowledge will be equal to God's." And suddenly they felt ashamed that, hey, we don't have any clothes. Suddenly they found that there is no paradise anymore. And they had to work for their grains, for their food. So all the trouble began with the desire to become equal to God, at least in knowledge. The English word sin has its roots in Greek, Latin words, and that too has a meaning which indicates cutting something and taking it apart. So, as we say in English, cutting asunder, A-S-U-N-D-E-R, it's an old word. So that sin is something which cuts me apart from God, and I am on my own. Whether I did it by knowledge, whether I did it by force of habit, it could be so many things. During the course of life's events, we find that sometimes we do dharmic karya, sometimes punya karma, by force of habit. We are in a yatra and there are beggars, and you strike a conversation with someone, you become friends, and he says, "Every time I come to yatra, I bring at least 101 rupee coins, and whenever a beggar comes, I give. You also give." And you say, "I never give. Anyway, 1 rupee. So this is doing a punya karma just by force. You have no desire to do it. Similarly, sometimes you commit sins up by force. You are in a group of friends and someone says, "Hey, come on, take a drink." And we say, "No, no, no." And then out of force, out of fear that you may lose friendship, you do something. So therefore, in the early discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami, Shukdev Goswami warns Maharaj Parikshit, and through that all of us, that na chedi eva apachitim yatha amhasa kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani bhi. My dear king, na ched ihaiva apachitim, atonement, prayaschitta, has to be immediate. For what? For kritasya, whatever you have done, mana ukta pani. Man is mind, ukta is your words, pani is your hand technically, but also senses. So all the sins which have been committed by kaya, mana, vacha, body, mind, words, they have to be rectified. Dhruvam savai, dhruvam, definitely you have to do it. Why? Pretya narakanupaiti. Otherwise after death, there is hell waiting for you. Ye kirti tame. I already described to you all the wells, 5th canto. Bhavatas tigma yatana. Tigma yatana. Too much suffering. Now hell means suffering. We don't need to go in the description of all the hells. But actually, this is a funny time we are living in. People don't believe in this suffering anymore. So many times the kind of information, like Prabhupada's famous story of a church pastor who was assigned a different district. It was a coal mining area. So he said, "Today is my first sermon, so let me make it very dramatic." So he went there and evangelical, if some of you may know, evangelical preaching is you have to make a lot of gestures, hand gestures, and say, hell and God loves you, and it's like a whole thing in itself. But today's topic was hell. So hell, and he said, all of you, those who don't believe in Jesus, all go to hell. And these people were like not very eager listeners. So after the whole sermon was over, he was expecting like quite some kind of stirring or squirming in the seats. Nothing of that happened. So some group of people came, the congregation came, and they said, Pastor, you said something called hell. What is that? He says, you don't know what hell is? Dark, damp place. People fight, swear with each other. No food, no light. Terrible existence. And they were like, each other, and saying, you're not fearful of such a place? They say, we live in such a place for most part of the day. 8, 9, 10 hours of the day, we are surviving in such a place. Coal miners, where they work, deep down below, it's dark, damp, people are angry, swearing at each other. So the pastor went home thinking that bad shot, it didn't work. So he did some research as to what these people do. They like to solve crosswords for the prizes which they get, like to read newspapers. So next day, the same sermon, but without much description of the hell, but two vital details. Hell is a place where there are no newspapers and there are no crosswords puzzles available. And he found the shiver going through the whole congregation. All those who were saying there said, God, it's a very bad place indeed. So even hell is relative. Like, not to spoil your morning with such a sordid kind of data, but once it came in the papers, and I was unfortunate to see that in Dharavi, one sewage tank exploded. And the area covering about 50-60 slum hutments, somewhere chest deep, somewhere knee deep, in raw, untreated sewage. Now, can we imagine such an existence? But the fact is that it happened, and happened right here in Bombay. So when you read about a description of a whole planet full of pus, blood, urine and stool, I mean, what's the difficulty? I mean, not an impossibility, what's the difficulty? If man can arrange for his own fellow beings something like that. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami is saying it has to be done. Tasmat purai va ashu iha papa nishtitau. Papa, sin, you have to nishkrito, you have to cut it down. So sin is something which cuts you down. You have to do something to cut the sin down. All of you must have, those who went to Tirupati, the Lord is famous as Venkateshwara. Ven is sin, kata, one who cuts it. Yeah, it matches. Kata and kata, both. So here is one personality who can cut down your sin. Why can't others do it? Why can't others do it? You may say, you chant Hare Krishna and cut down your sin. What about some Baba, some Guru, some any of the millions available in India? The problem is, they are like people. Have you seen here Arthur Road jail? There are touts and there are other people who can. You want your son who's in jail, I can supply him bidis every day. That's a demigod. He has no authority to take your son out. He's not powerful enough. He's not a government. He's not a president. But chewing gum, bidis, newspaper, that he can easily supply him. And I said, I can actually make your son's life a little bit more comfortable. This whole purport about Iha Devata in the Bhagavad Gita, that Kshipram hi manuchi loke siddhir bhavati karmaja, kama isteiste ritagyana prapadyante anya devata. In one sense, they have no right to be called devata. The only devata is Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande, Krishna Deva. That doesn't mean Krishna Deva, so there is Surya Deva, Chandra Deva, Varun Deva, and all Deva, Deva, Deva. It's not like that. Iha Devata. Prabhupada says, Krishna is very, very clear, a big boss within this material world. Like in India, we may say, Galli Ka Dada. Isn't it? The boss of that one lane. A dog feels that that is a boss of his own lane. Shukdev Goswami, in one of his humorous moods, calls him a Grama Simha. He is a village lion. That means a dog. He's not a lion in that sense. But Krishna can. In fact, not only Krishna can cut down other sins, his holy name can, no sin affects him. But when he commits something which looks like a sin, it is sweeter than nectar. Now what can we say about this? If we have a God who is like a sterile kind of personality, straight face, I never do anything wrong. But Krishna is not that kind of personality. Narayan, Vasudev, all the Vishnu personalities, they are like that. They smile, but they don't joke. Iti drikswa leela bhir ananda kunde. Satyavrata Muni is saying, this kind of leelas, you are taking your devotees and dunking them in a pool of nectar. So, what do you say about such a personality? In a Padyavali prayer, Rupa Goswami's anthology, not that all he has composed, but in one prayer, baby Damodar, who was just about to move around here a bit, little bit here and there. It is described that Krishna as Damodar stole butter from the whole 84 Krosha area. Every home he visited. And that was a secret desire of every gopi, that he should come. But this is when he was beginning to start his thievery. So he went and he saw one door open. It was not a hut as we think. They are gopas, but they had jeweled palaces. So he's about to take some butter from a pot. And lo, behold, in front of the pillar, he sees there is someone who saw him. He immediately put it down. And he said, look, hey, look, I am not a thief. Huh? My mummy has enough butter. I don't need to steal from anyone. And I'm not actually stealing it. I'm just trying to check out what it is. Then he found out the personality in the jeweled pillar. He's still looking at him. He doesn't even realize. He's looking at his own reflection. Then he says, I know what you want. You want some portion of this, right? Okay, take a little bit. And then he found out that fellow didn't take. He just threw it on the floor. He said, come on, it's just a small pot. I gave you something. Now you should be satisfied. You want more? Okay, take more, but this is the last portion. That fellow also, that thing also fell on the floor. He said, you rascal, you want the whole thing? Take it. And by that sound, someone came and he ran away. So the devotee is saying, to such a glorious thief, I offer my humble obeisances.
not even understanding, he is seeing his own reflection. So, sin, when it is, or a sin, you can say, a papa sadrish, something which looks like a sin, act committed by Krishna, it's not only a welcome thing, it's a glorified act. And remembering those things, our sins go away. So what can you say about such a personality? That glorifying his sinful activities, your sins go away. Your sin means the living and its desire to do something independently. Otherwise, anything which we do for protection from sin, from disobedience, bad karma, calamities, the demigods are right on the dot, accurate when they claim, "Sir, that could be like trying to cross the ocean by hanging on the tail of a dog." Now we can't even imagine, isn't it, that somebody trying to cross the ocean hanging on the tail of a dog. These are some of the ways in which Bhagavatam tries to give us an understanding. Sometimes it says he is boarding a stone boat, Ashma Plavam. There's nothing like a stone boat. If you make a boat, it goes down. Similarly, trying to cross the ocean, Prabhupada says, agreed, the dog swims. But the dog cannot cross the ocean. So someone trying to doing that is certainly committing the gravest mistake. And in the last line, Prabhupada warns, so one should seek shelter of the all-powerful instead of trying to be protected by one's own concocted ideas. Concoction, Prabhupada's favorite word, what comes out of your own mind. So therefore, it is only Krishna to whom we seek shelter. And the easiest process is to chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki.